Chapel Program Wednesday, October 28th, Dr. T. Marvin Vick, Jr., pastor of Eaton Street Methodist Church in Raleigh, North Carolina.
If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, all things have become new. God has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has committed unto us the ministry of reconciliation, whereby we declare, be ye reconciled to God. Let us read responsively selection 102, the title, Gladness in Worship. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord.
Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem.
Jerusalem is builded as a city that is compact together, whither the tribes of the Lord go up, unto the testimony of Israel, to give thanks unto the name of the Lord.
For there are set thrones of judgment,
Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee.
Peace be within thy walls, and prosperity within thy palaces.
For my brethren and companions' sake, I will now say, peace be within thee.
Because of the house of the Lord, God, I will seek thy good.
O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation.
Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving, and make a joyful noise to him with songs.
For the Lord is a great God, and a great King above all gods.
O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker.
Let us pray. Eternal God, with the ancient psalmist, we would worship and bow down before thee. We would kneel before the Lord our Maker. We are glad to be in thy house, though we are conscious that we are never beyond thee nor outside of thy presence. We keenly sense our need for times of meditation and prayer, and for times of public corporate worship. To this end, wilt thou help us this day to worship thee in spirit and in truth, and grant that in this experience we may find resources that will enable us to think and to live in a way that will relate our lives to thy redemptive and reconciling work in Jesus Christ. We pause to remember in thy presence those who know this day the pangs of loneliness, the anxiety of uncertainty, and the suddenness of bereavement. Grant that to these thy children there may be given grace sufficient for these experiences. And teach us, we pray, how to bear one another's burdens and thus to fulfill the law of Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. We are especially happy today to welcome as our speaker in this worship service Dr. T. Marvin Vick, Jr., who is the pastor of the Edenton Street Methodist Church in Raleigh. Dr. Vick is a native Texan. He has degrees from Southern Methodist University and from Duke University. Prior to coming to Edenton Street 3 years ago, he was pastor of a Methodist church in Kinston, North Carolina. Dr. Young and I and others had the privilege of a week of special fellowship with him in 1960 when we participated in a very meaningful citywide family life institute in the city of Florence, South Carolina. He is our neighbor, our friend, our Christian brother, and we welcome him to this chapel. Dr. Vick.
It's indeed a joy to be with you here this morning. I believe this is my first opportunity to be with you here. Last year we tried to find a mutual date and could be together, and it seemed almost impossible. And as you move out into your experiences in the local church, no doubt you will quickly learn why the local pastor has little time to travel. However, the reference to Florence, South Carolina brings back fond memories, as we did have a wonderful time in fellowship together, witnessing there to the glory of God and to the importance of the family. I commend to you the wonderful opportunities that are before you and the great challenge that awaits you as you move out into the fullness of God's ministry, into the pastorate. many of you already are serving in the pastorate as well as attempting to accomplish your academic program. I recall trying the same thing way back yonder in the dark ages, and you have my prayers and my sympathy. You try to be pastor and student, for I am well aware of the great difficulties. I was glad when they said unto me, "Let us go into the house of the Lord." These are the words of a layman, I trust. One who knew the frustrations of life. One who appreciated the pressures of the time. But one who understood where he could find sanctuary. I'm rather disturbed, and have been for the past several years, as over and over again I read references to the possibility that we are now living in the post-Christian era. Maybe it's stubbornness on my part, but certainly I find myself unwilling to accept any such possibility. For me to accept the fact that this is the post-Christian era is to suggest that my church, the Christian gospel, has somehow failed. And now those who once sought sanctuary in the Christian faith are looking elsewhere for it. I refuse to accept defeat. However, the suggestions do merit our consideration. If it is at all possible that this is true, then someone, somewhere, somehow has failed. And I must admit that if there has been a failure, and if we have any semblance of a post-Christian era, then we of the ministry must accept our full share of the responsibility. For I am confident that man continues to seek sanctuary. I do not think that the needs of man have changed one bit in the last 20, 50, or 100 years. He still seeks peace of mind. He still seeks the fullness of expression in life. And if he is today seeking that elsewhere, then I must look to my ministry and ask you to look to your ministry. Have we failed? Is it possible that we have become a professional society dedicated to certain administrative duties, trying to prolong certain practices that we remember from our childhood, and become callous in the essential duty that is the calling of the minister, to give sanctuary? It's very easy to get caught up in the wheels of life. Very easy to become satisfied with a big pulpit and the ego satisfactions that are extended from a congregation that wants to love its ministry. It's easy to become satisfied. The barrel is ever at hand, and after a few years in the ministry, it contains one or two gems and many, many horrible examples of homiletics. And there is a natural tendency on those busy days to reach into the barrel and to pull forth something that will fill the gap from 11 till 12 on God's day, Sunday. These are natural tendencies because it's not easy to be all things to all people. And I happen to be one who feels that still the parish minister must fill such a capacity. We do have areas of specialization and opportunities for special emphasis, but certainly in the pastorate, we must attempt at least to meet man in the area of his need, no matter where, and offer at least sanctuary. So I wonder this morning if by chance the words of the psalmist are no longer to be sung in our presence. If in this possible post-Christian era, there's no longer a sense of rejoicing on the part of our people that we offer them sanctuary. As I said, the need continues to exist. Just 2 weeks ago, I stood in the naval base at Key West and listened to my military guide tell me the story of five little rowboats that were there alongside the wharf. Now, he called them rowboats. I wouldn't even be so kind as to use those words in describing them. They were homemade. They were small. They looked completely unworthy of the sea. I don't even believe I would trust them on the Neuse River. Yet he explained that each one of these had contained anywhere from 4 to 8 Cubans as they passed across the 90 miles of turbulent water between Cuba and Key West in their search for sanctuary. I was gratified that this last phrase came from him, that they were coming to seek sanctuary. I thought, how daring, how great the need must have been, how desperate they were to risk that very, very dangerous journey in so slight a craft as any one of these rowboats that we were looking at. Yet they risk everything to find the opportunity of sanctuary. Well, this is evidence of man's keen desire. This tells me that man is still hungering and thirsting after righteousness, searching for freedom, anxious to find the opportunity for personal development. And even as these and many others before them risk the waters below Key West in their search for sanctuary, the visitors to my counseling room continually remind me that all peoples are in need of sanctuary, a place where the human life can find respect, where it can reach its highest level of expression, where it can give a witness to that spark of divinity that is within each of us. I was glad when they said unto me, "Let us go into the house of the Lord," said the psalmist, because he was seeking sanctuary. He was seeking this opportunity for expression. He was seeking the peace of mind that so often surpasses our understanding. On this trip I was referring to that ultimately took me to Key West, I visited in 2 churches. Even though on vacation I feel like it's on Sunday, it's time to go to church. I need such sanctuary. And so as Sunday came around, Mrs. Vick and I sought a place of worship where we could find sanctuary. Our first experience, and I think I'm going to be kind enough to you to say that both the churches I'm illustrating were Methodist churches. You'll appreciate that in a moment. On the first Sunday, as we sought sanctuary with members of our own denomination in one of the great cities of Florida, we found a beautiful church, we found a lovely choir, we found a minister who was truly a man of God. But we entered the sanctuary uninvited. We worshiped as we have been taught to worship and as we enjoy worshiping. When the service was over and the amen had been said, we moved down the center aisle and out the door onto the street, back to our automobile. Without saying a word or without hearing a word spoken to us. And once in the car, we commented almost simultaneously, "I hope our church is not like this one." We didn't find all we wanted. We didn't find the warmth. We didn't find the evidence of God's love in the lives of Christian people. It was a great service, an eloquent minister, but still our hearts were empty. There was something lacking. On the following Sunday, again we sought sanctuary in a house of God with God's people. Once more, the service was fine. The sermon was not as eloquent as the one the previous Sunday. In fact, I think he had found it in Doran's minister's manual many years ago, about like I did. The choir was not quite so good, but after the amen, we were met before we could move from our seats in a witness to God's love. And all the way to the door and out onto the street, we continued to feel the warmth of this congregation, the sense of God's presence in the witness of man. And as we left in our car to move on to the next place, simultaneously we said, we hope our church is like this one. And I hope it is. But I know that if it is, it must begin from this holy place where I now stand. This must be that spirit of the clergyman. It must be the spirit of those who dedicate themselves to full-time service in the church. We must realize not only the great need for sanctuary on the part of our people, but we must have within us that great desire to offer sanctuary and be alert to the stranger in our midst, to the one who hungers and thirsts after righteousness, to the one whose heart is heavy and needs that special word of kindness and courage. Let us be warned against professionalism that will certainly bring in evidence the post-Christian era. But understand that it can be prevented when we offer sanctuary to those who come our way. John Burroughs, a writer, frequents the gardens at Lake Wales, Florida, that surround the Bock Tower. And on one occasion, he explained to a friend why he liked to frequent those gardens, and the statement was so significant that his friend had it transcribed in wood and put in the gardens for all to read who passed that way. John Burroughs had this to say: I come here often to find myself. It's so easy to get lost in the world outside. I commend these words to you, the words that need to represent our ministry and our place of ministry, so that as they come unto us seeking sanctuary, they can come realizing that here is a place where life can be recovered. Here is a place where we can be reconciled. Here is where the dignity of life can be restored. I hope that all who come your way will go forth saying with the psalmist, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. For let me assure you, as I attempt to witness in the shadow of the capital of our state, we live in a day of loneliness. We live in a time of detachment. We're becoming more and more an introverted people, and as a result, a people of distress and despair. And I say to you that the house of God is the last opportunity for sanctuary. The house where you will minister, the place of God where love can abound. But it must begin in our hearts. I commend the word of God to you and the witness that we offer through his ministry. Almighty God, we thank thee for the privilege of being set apart for so great a calling. And we ask that thou wilt direct us that we may guard against the mundane features of life that would detract from the holy beauty of our purpose, that we may sincerely understand the privilege of our calling and be ever alert to the needs of our day, that sanctuary may be available to those who come because we offer it in thy name. Bless us to the greatest opportunity the world has ever known, the ministry of thy word. And now may the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the communion and fellowship of the Holy Spirit, come upon and abide with us all, both now and forevermore. Amen.